Welcome back, everyone, to episode 3 of the Los Angeles Online Film Critics Society podcast. New people, as always.
Hello.
So let's go around the table. We'll start with you, Mark. Introduce yourself, your outlet, and then we'll get started.
I am Mark Passis, and I'm repping Nerd Reactor today.
I'm Jenna Nascimento Nagasi. I'm on Jenna on camera.
And Stacey Lane Wilson with Dread Central.
So today we're going to be talking about Deadpool 2. It is going to be a spoiler review. So if you have not seen the movie, I will give you the warning right now. Do not watch or listen to this podcast. If you do, don't come yelling at us because we spoiled something.
But do
you
listen to it later.
That's right. Thank you. Yes. You can also, if you're watching this on YouTube, it's also available on iTunes. If you're listening to it on iTunes, you can watch it on YouTube. And there's a whole bunch of other podcast networks that this is on. So please rate, comment, and subscribe. Let us know what you think of the show. So, Deadpool 2. Before we get into how our feelings were going in or what we were expecting, Mark, why don't you tell us a little bit about Deadpool 2?
Okay, so in Deadpool 2, we start off with Deadpool basically committing suicide. And the reason why he commits suicide is because the love of his life, Vanessa, gets killed by a group of assassins who are trying to kill Deadpool. He goes into a very depressive state and gets rescued by Colossus, and he basically convinces him that his heart needs to heal, so the only way to heal is to become an X-Man. And so he becomes an X-Men trainee, So him, Negasonic Teenage Warhead, and Colossus go and respond to this distress signal at this one place where this kid called Firefist is blowing everything to hell, and Deadpool has the idea to go and save him because he realizes that this kid is being abused. Not so much when he tries to, you know, kill the people that abuses him, and so Colossus takes him out. Both him and Firefist get sent to this maximum security prison. And next thing you know, Cable shows up and breaks into the prison, tries to kill the kid, and in the process, Deadpool escapes. And he realizes that his heart, to heal his heart, he needs to save this kid.
And that's good. I think we'll stop there.
Okay,
yeah, that's,
all right.
That's,
yeah.
That's good. That's good.
Well, you made it sound like it had so much more plot than it actually has.
He was very thorough. Yeah, he was this happened, and this happened.
I'm very good at
this. This is our personal Wikipedia, right?
Yes. That's why we picked him for this episode. We knew that he would be the master.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
So we'll start with you. Did you have any expectations going into this film?
Somewhat. I mean, I saw the first one, and that one, I didn't have any expectations because I'm not really a comic book person, but I knew I loved Ryan Reynolds, and I thought it looked funny and fun, and it really did surprise me in a lot of ways, like when he breaks the fourth wall and all the jokes and the pop culture references, and of course the screenwriters had a lot to do with that because they wrote Zombieland, and they, you know, have done a lot of stuff that's along those lines, so I thought that was terrific. Now with this one, I was hoping it would be a little bit different or have a little bit more of a twist, but it's more of the same, which is fine. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, just the pure entertainment aspect of it. I mean, if you love the first one, you'll love this one too.
Yeah. How about for you, Jenna?
Yeah, I saw the first one, and then I was a little scared at the beginning at first when I saw the trailer. I was like, oh my God, I don't know how it's going to be. I'm always afraid of like a sequel. Like when they have a sequel, like a number 2 or even a number 3, I don't like it. So I was really surprised that they came out really good. And then this is the real Deadpool on screen. Like the real comic book is there, like big time.
Yeah.
How about for you?
I had very big expectations coming into it just because of how much I love the first one and how much Ryan Reynolds is pretty much Deadpool to me. After seeing this, every time I read a Deadpool comic, I'm just going to read it in his voice from now on, because he embodies the character so much, like the randomness, the fourth wall breaking, the comedy. That's all Deadpool. And the fact that one of my favorite buddy team-ups, Deadpool and Cable, is finally coming to fruition, that also was a very big plus for me. I don't think it's better than the first, but the first movie sets a bar that's so high, I don't think nothing that they could have put out there would have matched it. But it's still fun. I laughed a lot. I love the relationship between Cable, Deadpool, and Domino, and a lot of the surprises were amazing.
Yeah, I'm with Jen on this one. I wanted this movie to be good, but the trailers were not working for me whatsoever.
Mm, I never watched trailers, I didn't see any. No.
Oh, well, that's great, because we can't avoid them. Yeah. Maybe that's the dread of actually owning a website is that you have to watch everything. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they did that Bob Ross one, and then they did the introduction of Cable in one of them, and I don't know, the marketing campaign is so elaborate for this movie. It's kind of like how I feel about Star Wars. Like, there's so much buildup to it that by the time the movie comes out, I'm kind of like, enough already. Like, I'm not even that excited for the movie because there's so much marketing behind it.
Yeah.
But this was, like, the trailer, like you kind of said, was very much more of the same. So I was watching it, and I'm like, oh, it's just going to be the same thing over and over and over again. But to my surprise, I agree with you. I don't think that you can really top the first one. I think that set the bar. And I think it's on even playing field. That's the way I would say it. And I would say that it's a little bit more edgy and ballsy in terms of some of the jokes and some of the directions that it goes. But it's really hard to say if it jumps over that one or not, because I don't think it's possible.
Yeah. It's really difficult because the fans like myself have been waiting for a legit Deadpool movie for the longest time. That I was there at Hall H when they first showed the trailer for Deadpool, and after the trailer ended, this is the first time I've ever seen this in my many years of going to Hall H. Everybody stood up and gave a round of applause.
Wow.
And everybody from Ryan Reynolds to Tim Miller to the entire cast, they were just all aghast, like shocked at the reception to this. And it came to the point, like right after that happened, like we started chanting one more time, one more time.
Yeah.
Like they wanted an encore of that trailer. And I think that, you know, that kind of, you know, just like hype for it, you can't really top, especially since it was done so well the first time. It's really difficult, but I still had, you know, there's still a lot of fun to be had in this.
So Jana, what were some of your favorite things about this one?
I like the relationship between Wade and Vanessa, the girlfriend. I like Domino. I think we should see more of Cable. And the little kid, I like him, but at the same time, I don't like him. It's something that's weird. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a mixed feeling about him. I know a lot of people like him, but I don't know. I want to see more of like Cable, and I hope you can see more if you have that three, that Deadpool 3, we have more the relationship between Vanessa and Wade.
Yeah. How about for you, Stacey?
Well, let's see. Who played the cab driver? He was terrific.
Oh, my God. Yes. He was amazing.
I love him. And, you know, all of his interactions, of course, with Deadpool. But he's just so funny. I mean, just like every time he's on screen, your eye is just kind of drawn to him. And he's got a great sense of comedic timing. And he was one of my favorite characters, for sure.
I agree with you. I think he has become like almost the unofficial sidekick.
Uh-huh.
And it's just, he's always there when, you know, Deadpool needs him.
Uh-huh.
And he, like you said, just great line delivery. He was in a small movie called Safety Not Guaranteed, which I absolutely loved.
Yeah.
And it's amazing because he's been in all these smaller roles, but he's never gotten a big role yet. So I'm hoping he breaks out from this movie. You know,
yeah,
the first
he's really fantastic.
Yeah. How about, what did you like about it?
Man, there were a lot of things.
Just like one or two.
I like I said, the Cable and Deadpool relationship I did like, especially closer to the end when you see the interactions between Deadpool and Cable. Like, Cable is very hard-nosed, you know, just tough guy, and Deadpool is the complete opposite of that. So their interactions, you know, together was really fun to watch. And then the same thing with the whole X-Force scene.
Yes.
That was amazing.
That was really cool.
And
yes, I'm glad you're bringing this up, yes.
Because that scene alone was just amazing. Just seeing just everyone just die like that. That was unexpected.
That was great.
Yeah.
And I also love the part when Deadpool's in the fortress and he's like, "Where are all the X-Men?" And they're like, "You see the door."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, that was pretty funny.
That's yeah.
Cool. Oh, yeah. And I mean, it was just, you know, just like the first one, was so self-aware. You know, he's like sitting there in Professor X's chair, riding around. He's like, "This smells like Patrick Stewart's head." You know, like, it's just, it's great. And I mean, the opening sequence, not the like the opening sequence, but the opening credit sequence to James Bond.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, this was what I loved about this movie in terms of the references was that it didn't just go for the easy ones with comic books.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's a freaking reference to Yentl in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, they went everywhere. They were like RoboCop, Yentl, I mean, you think
Goonies.
About the Goonies, like, everywhere.
Yeah.
And it just, they all worked for me. And I was in love with the cleverness that these screenwriters were able to put in so many homages to so many different movies, but at the same time, it didn't feel like the first one in that regard.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the humor, you knew he was going to be sarcastic, he's going to be a dick, but he wasn't, the storyline and all the references didn't feel like they were ripoffs from the first one.
Yeah.
So, the other interesting thing for me about this movie was the sound, the use of music. I thought it was very impressive that they used like a 9 to 5 from Dolly Parton.
That was funny. Yeah.
Dubstep is awesome.
Dubstep.
That running joke.
Yeah.
I still have to Google that. I don't know what it is.
I don't know what. Your guess is as good as mine.
I will let you guys know. But basically, the song that plays after he said "Dubstep is awesome" is Dubstep.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
you know what song didn't work for me at all though was the Annie song, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, I could have lived without that one. I don't know, it just didn't kind of fit in with the sequence. But the other ones, even though how jarring they might have been, they still kind of like had this sort of cachet to them. But I don't know, that one was a no for me.
Yeah, I it didn't bother me too much, but it definitely engaged the reaction that the other songs had.
Right, exactly.
Like, I was just kind of like, okay.
It almost felt like they had a different song in that sequence, but they couldn't get it, or they decided not to.
You know
use
what?
It
there is a rumor. I don't know if you heard this, but there is a rumor that Ryan Reynolds had to take out a Disney joke in this movie.
Oh, is that right?
So
oh, yeah.
I don't know if that had something to do with
maybe?
It.
Yeah,
but
maybe.
I agree. It did kind of feel a little out of place.
Uh-huh.
Because the other ones seemed like they were so perfectly in sync to where they were going to go that was a little odd.
Well,
it
was better,
point.
I guess, than an Alanis Morissette song for Ryan Reynolds. I don't think he's going to be using any of those anytime soon.
Yeah, that's very true.
But there was a Disney joke, though.
Yeah,
yes.
Frozen.
Yes.
The Frozen with the Yentl and then...
Right, the songs sounding similar.
What was the two songs that you referenced? I mean, they really did sound similar.
Father, Can You Hear Me? Is that
Father,
what it was?
Yeah.
And
Papa. Sorry. Ashley's mumbling to me over there. She's like, it's Papa. Can you hear me? Even though I've been singing it since I saw this movie. So go figure. But yeah, I mean, I really think that this was it's not as groundbreaking as the original, but it's, there's something to be said about a movie like this where it can pull off the violence, it can pull off the comedy, and it can pretty much follow a very familiar formula and still work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's still wholly entertaining. I just don't know if they could do three that are so similar. Hopefully the next one will...
Oh, just, yeah, you know, that's a good... I was going to bring that up at the end. We'll talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
What did not work for everyone?
As much as I love the kid in Hunt for the Wilder People, Dwayne Dennison, he basically played the same character in Hunt for the Wilder People, just not as charismatic. Because he played assholes in both, but it just wasn't as charming this time around as it was in that movie. And I think he was, I think that was the,
the weakest link for you?
Yeah, that was the weakest link.
Yeah. For you too?
Yeah, for me too. For me, the same, because I didn't watch the previous movie, but I think there's something about him that doesn't connect. I don't know. Everybody has a good connection, and I don't know. There's something on him that is not convincing. You know, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
it's hard to say, but
it's really hard.
Yeah, I think what it is that all the characters kind of have their bonding moment. And he never really has that bonding moment. They like, he's trying to save Deadpool in one scene in the movie, but like it's kind of like a weird back and forth between the two of them.
Yeah.
But there's no genuine moment like of like forgiveness between them. Like even at the end, you know, when Deadpool gets shot and saves, you know, kind of gives up his own life to save his, it's all about Cable and him.
Exactly.
It's not about him.
Right.
So I definitely can see where that's coming from.
Yeah, it's something, he looks like outside the box.
Yeah.
Outside.
But not in a good way.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird for me. That was...
What for you?
Well, not a person in particular, but I don't know, like you would know if this is in the comic books or the graphic novels, but the child molestation subplot, I mean, that certainly made him want to kill the people that were molesting him. I can understand the vendetta there, but I don't know. I don't really need that in a comedy. It didn't really, I don't know. They didn't go into it too much, but
yes,
that was. Okay,
The group that is in the movie is called the Purifiers. And that name alone can basically tell you what kind of treatments that they do. Yeah. They're basically religious zealots that try to purify the mutant race by torture and whatever ungodly means possible.
I see. Well, I don't know. For me, it was like, it really worked for me.
Yeah.
I was like, all right.
I don't know. I can see that.
As someone who doesn't know the backstory,
I don't know. I'm also just, it's weird because like, when it comes to like gross out humor, like I'm oddly like offended by it because I just feel like it's so over the top constantly.
But
like
this had a little less to me.
Yeah, that's what I feel
one.
Like, and it's like I rather it be dialogue driven raunch than actual like, oh my god. Here's someone's ass, or here's someone's penis,
or
like
vomit, or
people vomiting and pooping in sinks or floors or wherever. Yeah, so it's weird because when someone's saying something like that, it's funnier to me because I feel like, I don't know, it fits the character and the tone of the movie because it's sarcastic. It's like, of course it would go this far.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, but that's just me.
No, I hear you.
My issue with this movie was that there was not enough of Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Agreed.
I love this actress. She was great in Tragedy Girls. She was great in the first Deadpool movie.
Mm-hmm.
And to have her only show up, I think it's only like two or three scenes.
Right. Yeah.
And they're very minor. Mm-hmm. And they're just kind of like there for a little joke. And she doesn't really get much screen time whatsoever. She doesn't have much of a plot development. Her character doesn't get developed anymore. So that was kind of disheartening to kind of see so little of her in when the first movie did such a great job of building that relationship between the two of them.
And not only that, but she gets overshadowed by Yukio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, hi, Wade.
Right. Which is funny because that character really had no purpose other than to be her girlfriend and just to say, hi, Wade, all the time. But you're right. She did she did overshadow the character.
Yeah.
So I don't know why that happened, and I'm hoping that
Maybe on number three, they're going to develop her more, or her story or anything that she does. I don't know.
So how did we all feel about Domino?
Oh, I thought she was terrific. Yeah, I really liked her a lot.
This was a great introduction to this character.
Yeah.
I, you know, it's way too early to say, like, she needs her own movie, but I'm hoping we get to see more of her.
I want to see more, but not a movie.
Not a movie.
Just a ball, no.
It's kind of going back to that character. It's funny, like, the jokes we were talking about, you were just mentioning this, about some of the stuff that kind of worked and what didn't work. I loved how politically correct the movie was, but at the same time, it wasn't. Like, it was like, Ryan Reynolds kept saying, like, oh, you know, this is the X-Men. It shouldn't be the X-Men. It should be something else. Like, you know, and, but then at the same time, he's like Black Widow or something like that. Like, I love that it was so self-aware and it was still politically correct, but then it pulled back from being so on the nose about it. Like, it was just like, we're still going to be insulting, even though we're...
Oh, yeah. It was very clever.
Yeah. So, what is, what was everyone's favorite character in this one?
Domino.
Yeah, Domino.
Yeah.
You mean aside from Deadpool? Can I pick Deadpool?
You can pick Deadpool.
Oh, okay. It's my favorite.
You can pick Deadpool.
Oh, okay. It's Deadpool first and then Domino second.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Deadpool first and then Domino second.
Deadpool first.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I personally thought I really liked Vanessa in this movie. I liked her a lot in the first one, but I love that she really gave the whole movie meaning, you know?
Yeah.
One of my biggest complaints about most Marvel movies, you know, outside of the last one, is that there's always these emotional storylines that go on in there, and some character dies, and then it's always like 2 seconds later, it's either a joke, or we move to action, or the person just comes back to life. So to kind of have an entire film based around the effects of this person dying, I thought was a really bold move and something that kind of worked for me, and especially near the end where he goes back and sees her again and they kind of share that moment and she says, you know, it's not your time.
Yeah, that was really well done. Really, like, really the drama there was really spot on.
I thought it was great. In terms of this X-Force, we need to talk a little bit more about this scene. So the this was kind of funny because the movie itself makes so many references to the X-Men franchise, and the fact that it falls into actually creating its own separate X-Men in a lot of ways with the X-Force. How surprised was everyone that these characters didn't really get much screen time?
I was like, what? They dedicate a trailer just for them, and now just nothing? Like,
well,
5 minutes?
Funny. I thought it worked, because it made
They got,
what,
like
more.
5 minutes,
right? That's what they say, always leave them wanting more.
It was surprising to me, though, right? Because
I was like, they're dying. No,
that's great.
Who was the invisible person? What was his name?
Brad Pitt.
Right.
Yeah.
Which like, that. Sorry, that was a huge spoiler, but my God, that was just shocking.
The character's name was Vanisher.
The Vanisher.
Yes.
Oh, hilarious.
But it was great where he just hits the electrical lines, and it just for 2 seconds, you were like, wait. You blink and you miss it, but it was great.
And, well, obviously you should have seen this before watching this, but yeah, he was just invisible the entire time. You didn't know who he was.
But it was funny, even with nobody in, like, the little harness.
Oh,
it was funny. They'd
the
cut to him, and
down.
It's like, and they'd cut to, like, this, you know, nothing. But it was still funny. The way they shot it was great.
Yeah, I thought, again, this is why I say the movie is a little ballsier than the first one, because, like, I don't think in the first one they would have went that far and, like, introduced a whole bunch of characters just to simply kill them off for a joke.
No.
Oh, yeah. It was like a body count horror.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I was... You know, Ashley brought that up. She's like, the violence for you in this movie, like, that's something that you must be able to appreciate.
Well, hey, I work for Dread Central, don't I?
Yeah. So, I mean, from that standpoint, do you feel like the violence level in this movie is too much for a typical comic book film?
Oh, no, it's very cartoony. It's definitely not, you know, a Hostel or Saw film by any stretch of the imagination.
No one's chopping off limbs and, like...
No. I was more like bothered with the first trailer that he's in the phone cabin changing.
Uh-huh.
Than the whole movie. You know what I mean? That one I get really upset. I was like, what is this? What's wrong with this trailer? You know what I mean? But then the movie is a lot of like very tough, very a lot of blood. But it's good. I like it.
Okay.
You know, it's not bad.
Does everyone at the table have a favorite Joker scene?
Oosh, I need to
watch. Oh, you mean other than
again?
The X-Force scene?
Yes, other than that scene. Like that, I think that's everyone's scene the top.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Like that's the one where everyone's going to be talking about. Like it's kind of like the end of Avengers Infinity War. Everyone's talking about that. That's the scene for this movie.
That and also, okay, if we're taking out the X-Force scene, then I guess the mid-credits trailer. The mid-credits scene. That was amazing to watch. I love the movie, but that made me love the movie even more because of that. Just the simple fact that he gets to go back and kill what us comic book fans like to call Baraka Pool, and just like kill him and then just like stand there as like, oh sorry, bam 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 bam, and then Ryan Reynolds looking at the script for Deadpool and was like, oh man, you're in the big leagues now, headshot, you're welcome Canada.
Yeah.
So that entire like mid credit scene was.
Was
the best. Yeah,
I love the scene with the baby legs.
Oh, did you really?
Oh my god!
That's right. That was pretty funny, but it had gone a little too long for me.
I was like, what?
Well, I mean, when they were sitting down for a little bit, but then when he started standing
no,
up and walking,
when he walks, that is funny. When he's sitting down,
funny,
I was like,
yeah. Just the reactions from everyone, like, was great. You know, especially since Cable was in that scene, because he was kind of like, what is going on?
Well, that's where the Proposition Guy Pierce joke came in. I mean,
that's
there's not very many movies where you joke about a Guy Pierce independent Australian Western film.
There you go. See, that's what I'm saying. See, you picked that up. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, this movie was written by people who love movies of all kinds.
Yeah.
The fact that was in there, Yentl was in there, like, it's all across the board of movie lovers.
Don't forget Basic Instinct.
Yes.
Of course, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I love the job interview sequence was one of my favorites.
Oh,
you know, like when they're, you know, hiring, recruiting the new team and everyone's coming in with their headshots and stuff. That was funny. And it kind of, you know, it's kind of reminds me like Bowfinger. I'm kind of a sucker for those showing up for a job's, you know, quick cutting sequences. So they did it really well.
That's Bowfinger's a great underrated movie. I love that one. Final thoughts on this one, and then we'll talk about what we think is going to happen in the future installments.
Well, I really like the movie. I just wish that some of the characters, like Negasonic Teenage Warhead, and had more of a part in this.
Hold on. We didn't talk about Juggernaut at all. How did you feel about that? How did everyone feel about
I was just waiting for that meme line to just show up. I was thinking that the entire time. I'm the Juggernaut, bitch.
That's one of my favorite Marvel characters, and I feel like they haven't won me over with that character yet.
Yeah.
He was also in, what was it, X3?
Last Stand,
yeah.
With Vinnie Jones.
Yeah. It was not very good in that one. I didn't feel like it was that good in this one. Like, he wasn't big enough.
He was not to size, because Juggernaut's, like, bicep is supposed to be bigger than, you know, like, two heads.
It should be, like, all of us together.
Yeah, exactly.
All of us squished together.
I don't think he was to size, to be honest.
And I just felt like the character itself was also too campy, I want to say. I mean, I know it's in the Deadpool movie, but, like, it didn't fit the tone.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah.
But I just wanted to bring that up, because we actually didn't bring that up at all.
Yeah, that is a good point, actually.
Did you? Mm-hmm. Did you feel that way, too?
Yeah, I couldn't really relate to... I don't know. It's just, he didn't feel like he belonged in the whole mix.
Yeah.
Was he in the comics? With Deadpool. I know he's in the comics with X-Men, but...
I mean, a lot of mutant characters just seem to show up in, like, Deadpool, because Deadpool is the type of comic book character to just randomly show up at some point. But, yeah, I have to look at it, but, yeah, I would have to say that Juggernaut has been seen with Deadpool before.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I was just curious because he did not fit in for me. Yeah. I forgot to actually even. It's so forgettable, which is also weird because we didn't mention it. Yeah. But I also didn't mention it in my review. Because really? I just did not remember it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a person like the Juggernaut, he is something and someone that shouldn't be easily forgotten because he is one of the, like, biggest X-Men villains in the comics, right next to, you know, like Magneto.
Right.
And yeah, it's like he should be like rememberable, but I just feel like you said, with the Disney joke, he just felt like he was added on and not like, you know, they tried to get someone else, but it didn't seem to work. So it's like, just put the Juggernaut in there.
Yeah.
Just add something. You'll get some cool big guy fight scenes in there.
Right. And I guess it works to battle off with Colossus, I guess, to a degree. But
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Sorry to cut you off.
So I just wish that some of the characters, like the Juggernaut, thank you for the reminder.
No problem.
Negasonic Teenage Warhead had bigger parts to it. In addition to, you know, maybe making the character of Firefist more likable, I think if they did that, then it would have been, you know, one of the up there with the same level as Deadpool, because you had heart, it has heart, it has emotions, it has drama, definitely has a lot of laughs, it has definitely a lot of action. So if they remedied those issues, then it would have been at the same level as Deadpool.
Go ahead, Jenna. Follow that up, Jenna.
Yeah. No, I like it. I want to rewatch again because of the jokes. I think I need to watch, like, not just once more, I need to watch more because there's so much going on, so much, like, funny stuff that I want to recap. And also, I like it because it's not just like a comic book. It's like a family movie too, but for rated for us.
Yeah,
and it's the right kind of F word.
Yes, exactly. So I like it. I enjoy a lot. I want to see more of, like, as I said, Vanessa and Wade relationship. And I agree with you guys about the Negasonic Teenager Warhead. Brianna, I was going to say, I agree about Brianna. No,
yep.
And that's it.
Yeah. For you?
Well, I'd say it's definitely worth seeing on the big screen since it's such a high velocity thriller and comedy and drama. It's got a little bit of everything. Yeah. But also what I like about it is the fact that, you know, when it's available streaming or on DVD, that it's a great party movie too. You can have that on in the background when people are over and you can just catch little bits and pieces of it and it still will be entertaining. So I think it serves a lot of purposes.
Yeah. No, I agree. I do think you should see this on the big screen too. I think you know, that's the one thing I will say about almost every single comic book movie, even if I don't like them, is that they are meant to be seen on the biggest screen. And with an audience, because seeing the reaction and hearing everyone's reaction to things really does add to the fun of watching these movies. As I opened this with, I really felt like the movie did a great job at kind of doing some new things. I feel like it did a lot of the same things. It's not, I guess now talking a little bit more about it, I guess it is a little bit beneath the first movie for me. Just because I don't know if I was able to pick out, like, two or three things that I really disliked about the first one. Where clearly talking in a group setting now, I can feel a few things that I was like, maybe that didn't work as well. But like you said, I would love to watch this movie again because I feel like I miss a lot of the jokes. Yeah. It's so rapid fire. Everything is just thrown at you so fast, whether it's the jokes or it's the plot or whatever, that you can't process everything. So I had a really hard time, like, even taking notes, because I usually take notes in the movie. And after a couple pages, I was just like, you know what? I'm done. I can't do it. Because I felt like every time I looked down, I'm like, what did I miss? Everyone's laughing around here. Yeah. So I do recommend it. Do you guys do scores? Does everyone do scores? Like out of like a 5 or a 10 or your own like random scores?
I
don't do
that. I mean, but I can.
Out of 10.
Okay. I do 10, so we can do out of 10.
Oh, out of 10. Okay. I would give it an 8 out of 10, I guess. 7.5, 8 out of 10. Yeah.
Okay. I give it a 9 out of 10.
9. Yeah, I give 8.5.
8.5.
Yeah, I would say 8.5 as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, sounds good. So before we end this, since we are talking about the future of Deadpool a little bit in this podcast, there is apparently both a green light on the X-Force movie and the Deadpool 3 movie. Which one do you think should come first? And like you said, does anyone at this table really feel like they can do this, pull it off 3 times in a row with Deadpool the way it is?
No.
I think, well, with the Drew Goddard doing X-Force, I think he is a amazing writer. He did
Cabin in the Woods.
And also he developed the first season and best season of all the Marvel Netflix shows of Daredevil. And I think that with him at the helm and writing it, I think it can go into very great places. And I think with the way that cinematic movies are nowadays, whatever happens to Deadpool and all the other characters there, that's what's going to lead to Deadpool 3, which is why I think that, like you said, which one should come first? I think X-Force should come first because, you know, that kind of team-up can have hopefully great consequences to Deadpool 3 because, like you, I don't think, as much as I want some of the formula to be the same, I just think of Hangover, where all the stories are the same, and it gets really old by the time you get to the end of the second one. So I think you need to switch it up in X-Force before you do something with Deadpool 3.
Yeah. Feel the same way.
Oh, I do. Yeah, I think you need a little
breather.
Between the
X Force.
Yeah. Give you a chance to forget all the other stuff and kind of, come to a third one. But, well, with the third one, I think you're right. Like you say, you can build off of a different franchise and add it into the next Deadpool film where you have more characters and more plot to incorporate instead of kind of the same, more of the same. However, I do think they should bring the, what's the cab driver's name?
Yes.
I love him so much, I can't remember his name.
The character's name is Dopinder.
Dopinder. Dopinder needs to be
his name is Karen Sony.
Karen Sony. No, it's hard because I feel like when I looked them up before doing this podcast, I almost felt, are they torn between doing a Deadpool 3 and doing the X-Force? Because I don't know, when you have cinematic universe movies, as we all know now, it's kind of hard to have a standalone movie and then have multiple standalone movies because all the characters are kind of introduced. And, Captain America movies have really just become Avenger movies.
They're just
here's Black Panther, here's this character. And now that we have these characters introduced in Deadpool 2, everyone at this table is in agreement. We want to see more of these characters.
Yeah.
So essentially, I don't even know if they can pull off a Deadpool 3 just in general, because I feel like once they start X-Force, then they could just build more of the storylines, and just like the Marvel, other Marvel Cinematic Universe, they could just kind of build those stories and have like, okay, 30 minutes of the screen time goes to Deadpool's story, and 20 minutes goes to this person's Domino's story, and whatnot.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm interested to see where it goes. I hope that they keep it R. You know, one of my big concerns is with Disney kind of getting involved with this. Just like they tried to take out a joke in this movie, I'm really worried about the movies being watered down.
Yeah.
Because I think the reason why they work so well is because they're so edgy and so different.
Yeah, because, well, I guess my argument for that is that a lot of people, well, except for you guys remember that Disney at one time owned Miramax, and Miramax was the one that produced all of the, you know, Tarantino movies
from back then.
They stayed rated R and didn't meddle with it at all. So I think if they were smart, and I know that Bob Iger, Feige, and, you know, Alan Horn are really smart, that they will, Feige will have his input on it, but he, the thing with Feige is that he is such a encyclopedic Marvel head. Like, that's why he got hired to do the first X-Men in the first place, because he has such encyclopedic knowledge of the Marvel Universe. And the great thing about him is that he knows what the character needs and is able to, you know, do that for whatever needs possible. That's why he's able to, like, get the best out of, you know, the B-level characters, the C-level characters, and put them out there for the mainstream audiences. So I think he is smart enough to know that Deadpool is a very rated R movie, and so I think that they're going to keep it rated R. So, yeah, I don't think that that really should be a problem.
Okay. I'm just more concerned.
Yeah.
But I'm also concerned because isn't, like, this whole, every fanboy's dream right now is that now that they bought, you know, Fox, and I don't think that deal is confirmed yet, but I mean,
no, yeah, I think it's going to take a while.
Let's be honest, it's going to go through.
Yeah.
But are you at all concerned about what they would do if they have to merge the characters? Because that's where I think the fine line gets drawn. Because, like, Deadpool has always been an R-rated movie. X-Force can be R-rated. Whatever. You know, just like now, they did the transition between X-Men with Logan having an R-rated movie.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's so many, like, young kids who are fans of all these other characters that if they ever kind of merge them, I feel like they would have to tone him down in order to do it, because he would have to appeal to a wider demographic.
I mean, that's
thinking far ahead, but it's something that I'm worried about. You know, it's just like how I felt like with Logan as a character, the first X-Men movie that he was in, he was fantastic in the first original X-Men. You know, and then, you know, second one was pretty good, but third one was not good. And then he had that standalone movie that was not very good. Then he had the other standalone movie, which was a little bit better than the first standalone movie, but not that good either.
Yeah.
You know, so it almost felt like that character needs something darker. It needed, like, to be R-rated.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just bringing this up because we're talking about this and they all belong in the same universe, but I'm worried about softening up characters that don't really need softening up.
Yeah. I think with me personally, because with that, I think Deadpool, since he's such a random character, that even in the comics, during, like, the what they call, like, big event, like comic book events, I should say, but he randomly shows up and has his own standalone side stories and doesn't really have that big of an impact on the overall storyline. So I think what they should do personally is keep Deadpool separate, have him be a part of the X-Force, keep the X-Men universes separate from, like, the Avengers movies, because X-Men alone is just such a huge universe. It's their own cinematic universe.
Right.
So they can easily, you know, just keep them separate until, you know, they decide to do the
a reunion.
Yeah.
You know, I think we should really worry, though, when they do Deadpool in space.
Yes. Did not work for Leprechaun.
No. Jumped the shark there, didn't
No. So that's it for this episode of the LA Online Film Critics Society podcast. Everyone go around the table once again. Say where they can find you, your website, your social media handle, and whatnot. Promote yourself.
So I am Mark Passis. You can find me at my Twitter handle at PacmanNR7, no spaces. You can find my site at NerdReactor, nerdreactor.com, at NerdReactor on Instagram, NerdReactor on Facebook. And I think that's enough shameless self-promotion on my end right there.
Okay. Jenna Nascimento Nagassi. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Jenna on Camera. My website is Jenna on Camera. Very easy. My Facebook is Jenna Nascimento Nagassi. And I also write for a Brazilian publication in South Florida, which if you read in Portuguese, you can read my articles over there too, GazetaNews.com.
Stacey Lane Wilson, and it's StaceyLaneWilson.com. And if you Google my name and dubstep, you can find me anywhere.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and we hope to catch you on the next one. Thank you so much for watching or listening.